just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, an English Premier League podcast hosted by four Americans. Tonight you've got four here. Miles back in New York and the three of us here in D.C., Shay, Jacob, and Chris. How's everybody doing tonight on this FA Cup night?
Well, happy President's Day, everybody. And if you're not in the U.S., then just happy Monday. Thanks for tuning in.
I don't know how to feel anymore. These games just get boring now. The United's just playing so well, you know? It's just tough.
Tough for you. It's tough for you, but imagine Chelsea fans right now coming off a 6-0 loss to City and then 2-0 loss to Man U after their, Europa League win. No sympathy for any other fans. I like it. Guys, we're coming off of FA Cup weekend. Really, we're now down to the quarterfinals. The FA Cup draw was this morning. We'll talk about it as well. But I think first, let's talk about Chelsea-Man U. Shay, you mentioned Man U playing wonderfully. I'd argue they were sufficient, but overall thoughts on their advancement to the quarterfinals?
Look, Man U did just enough before the half to make it such that a Chelsea team in the current form that they're in did not have the requisite firepower to do anything. That second goal really hurt, but you've been seeing, I guess, what you've seen versus City and even before that in previous big games of Chelsea is that, you know, they are lacking in some areas. Marcus Alonso maybe not playing the best, Rudiger not playing great, Kepa not playing great.
Both goals very similar. You know, set sort of, you know, crosses. Yeah. 6-yard box.
Not dealing with the simple stuff. I thought Chelsea created enough half chances that could have gone in, but you're a very good goalkeeper, number two goalkeeper for Manchester United in
Sergio Romero,
exactly, who made the saves he needed to make. I don't know, Miles, what do you make? You made some predictions about how Higuain would play. What did you think about his link up play and how he was, you know, in the build up?
Yeah. Well, you know, I will give it to you, Jacob, before the show we were talking, and, you know, I will give it to you that the attack looks a little bit more solid up there. However, and he did have, I mean, he missed a nice header, but there was some power behind that. Really, we got to give it to Smalling, because I think Smalling in the defense had a great game and really kind of shut down any of the Chelsea attacks.
Couldn't agree more. I would say, much like the biblical figure Samson, Chris Smalling may be deriving his power from pineapple.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Shay, what do you make of that? Shay, what do you make of that hair situation?
Yeah, that hair growth is unnatural. It's unnatural ever since the word. I don't understand how, you know, we have multiple members of the pod who've been growing out our hair the same amount of time as Chris Smalling has, yet he's leaped us exponentially.
Well, so, as we know through the rumor mill, he's a vegan now, so it could be his. You know,
yeah, he's in that same vegan program that Angelo Townsend was with that hair. that's not natural.
All right, listeners, you heard it here first.
That's true.
Go vegan and get hair gain growth. I would like to start a program that markets veganism just for hair growth and see if it's true.
Guys, what do you make of the Sarri substitution in the 82nd minute, bringing on Zappacosta instead of maybe bringing on a Hudson-Odoi, somebody to give them some more offensive firepower to at least try and make a game of this? Or is he just completely just, you know, it reminded me of some of those Wenger subs back in, you know, his sort of senile days.
I would almost say it's a Mourinho-esque substitution. It's a substitution not to lose the game by a larger margin, maybe. You know, just cut your losses. You're going to lose 2-0 versus 4 or 5 could look very, very different. But I would like to draw attention to how much Zappacosta looks like the Nintendo figure Waluigi.
Hmm. He does look like an evil
Wario.
Yeah. I mean, he does look like a villain.
He does.
This could also be Sarri just giving his Italian brethren, you know, just some playing time, you know.
Waluigi.
Yeah, I don't know when the last time Zappacosta played. I do think it's kind of a snub, though. I think Hudson-Odoi, I mean, he said it all in that look, you know.
Yeah, he side-eyed Sarri.
Yeah, he side-eyed Sarri. But yeah, I think, you know, it's just being practical at that point. I do think, on the other hand, on Man United, some of the players that I think really played well, I thought Pogba, I mean, that midfield three, having Mata as well up top, I think you really see a lot more fluidity in their passing. And I mean, I just want to say, I think Pogba, I think, had the best celebration with that diving header.
It almost looked like celebration.
I think that's a yoga pose.
It almost looked like he planned that. You know,
sleeping,
what I mean?
Pigeon?
Sleeping pigeon.
You're talking about yoga?
You do regular yoga?
I do regular yoga, but that's not sleeping pigeon. I said that wrong.
I think sleeping pigeon is some sort of other position.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, birdie style.
Do you think, I mean, I felt like Lukaku kind of interrupted him too. You know, Pogba was trying to do
Lukaku didn't know probably know what he was doing. Probably, you know, when you're big, you can't get out of the way.
Pogba was doing a reverse Rooney after the bicycle kick. That's what I call it. But I think when you look at the substitution of, you know, like 10 miles of not bringing on Callum Hudson-Odoi in favor of Ross Barkley, it's just...
Or Zappacosta. Or Aspilicueta.
Well, sorry, they brought Ross Barkley on.
For William.
No, William came on for Pedro.
Barkley was on for Kovacic.
And Barkley came on for Kovacic. And just very, very confusing to me. I just cannot see why he's continuing to stick with Barkley. Barkley has not been convincing whatsoever. And at this point in the season, if you already acknowledge you're down two and you need some magic to happen, I just can't see you drawing on that well for inspiration from Barkley. He just does not seem to be reliable. But as for the Man United lineup, I thought it was really telling how they converted from a really counterattacking side we saw when they have Martial, Lingard, and Rashford in the team to much more possession-based, kind of getting Pogba wide, getting him in creative areas, making runs into those channels. It's just a different look that they get when they play that way. And I wonder what that means for Liverpool. There's some rumors that, you know, Lingard and Martial may be both fit. But if not, could Liverpool see a more possession-based team that try and go to play Liverpool in that fashion?
Shay, do you think Man U is going to push on to win this FA Cup just based on the rest of the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think the next competition against Wolves is favorable for Manchester United. I think the thing that leads me to think that we can win it is, one, because we don't really... I mean, a Champions League is the priority, but I don't think us winning it is realistic. So this really is our only competition that we can win out and out. So I think they'll be pretty hungry for that. I think, look, if you look at our goals against pre-Solskjaer and post-Solskjaer, it's drastically different, right? We were more goals against than we had matches played before Solskjaer, and the opposite with Solskjaer. So I think defensively, if we continue to get our house in order, we should be able to advance pretty easily to the rest of the competition.
I think both the thing that interests me about Manchester United and Wolves, and the same thing that interests me about the Crystal Palace versus Watford tie, is that I think it's very winnable for those teams. I mean, I think they really could make a run at the FA Cup. City still pushing for the quadruple. We are not really mentioning that at this time, but they're still in all competitions.
Yeah,
they have the League Cup final.
Let me outline the quarterfinals. You got Millwall, Brighton, Swansea, Man City, Watford, Crystal Palace, Wolves, Man U.
I think Man U are going to struggle in that game because, as I was saying, for those teams in the Premier League that are not pushing for top four, this is the competition of focus. Their league status and where they're going to finish really, realistically, is not under threat. They're all going to finish somewhere in that range. I think, you know, Crystal Palace and Wolves, I think, can really make a go for it, and I would be, you know, shocked to see Manchester United have as easy time against Chelsea versus Wolves.
Isn't that crazy, though? I mean, it's crazy to me that Wolves could put up a better fight than this Chelsea team, but that's just the situation that Sarri has them in. But again, Man U drew Wolves back in September 1-1, so, you know, and we've seen the way they've played against other competition. But, you know, I could see a team like, you know, maybe a Crystal Palace, Brighton has a good chance to advance, too, to the semis, so teams that could give Manchester United some trouble.
Absolutely. Let's not forget that Crystal Palace almost won the FA Cup.
Under
Pardew. Not for a Pardew celebration,
this is true.
Right?
This is true.
Continue salsaing, Sir Pardew. Let's shift away from FA Cup, and let's talk Champions League. So midweek we had Manchester United playing PSG, and we also had Tottenham playing Dortmund. Well, I was going to say both Premier League teams came out with a result. Manchester United coming out with one that resulted in a loss. But, I mean, how do you think they fared against PSG just based on, you know, the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, that was not a good game. we didn't really do anything positive in that game, let's be honest. So PSG is the better team. I think they'll go through in advance, and at least we can have our eyes on FA Cup and Premier League, you know, going forward. Tottenham looked good. Tottenham looked really good.
Tottenham looked good. You know, 3-0 over Dortmund. I mean, I think that's an impressive showing.
Yeah.
Miles, what do you make of Tottenham putting up that result without Kane, without Ali, without Moussa Dembele, who's enjoying life in China?
You know, it was a really tough game because for a long time it was very evenly matched. You know, Dortmund were getting forward on the flanks, you know. Sancho looked great out there, and I really thought that Spurs were going to lose it. So, but, you know, they do have some bright sparks up in attack. Son is such a great player that, and just, you know, again, we see the strength in Spurs. Even Vertonghen playing out on the left, you know, had some, you know, great assists for those goals. You know, he can cross that, and he can move faster than you think you can. You know, Vertonghen can get up
it's
and down
such
the
a
field.
Big guy.
That was interesting because we've seen Vertonghen play wide before in earlier matchups.
Yeah.
Just based on their, you know, their depth and their health. And I haven't been impressed with Vertonghen out wide. I thought he was underperforming out wide until that Dortmund game. And I mean, the ball he played in,
I think,
to Son was just
versus
phenomenal.
Arsenal. Didn't he play out wide too? And he was really poor.
I've just seen some
game.
Shaky performances at like that sort of wing back winger area. I mean, it's really not his best position, but it worked.
I wonder, Tottenham's still hanging around in the league, and you know, if they get a favorable draw, assuming they advance to the quarterfinals, I think it could get very, very interesting. It might just be enough to keep Pochettino at the club. If they go deep, let's say, to the final, maybe it'll be enough to get them some reinvestment in that squad to make them push on a little bit further. But full credit to Pochettino to get players like Harry Winks, like Sissoko, to really perform to the top level. And
those
again,
are engines, yeah.
Absolutely. And what else can you say about Son? I mean, we talked about it. Right. And only one of us picked him. We said Rashford, Son, and
Mane.
Who would you rather have? Chris Bowerbank going bold and picking Youngman Song. So, bravo to you.
But thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, it's not decided yet, but yes.
We'll see what happens when Mane plays this week.
You know, I know we've talked about Spurs depth on this show before, and so, hey, now that we're in this situation, seeing Spurs get results without their key players,
that's true.
And you're seeing where Arsenal is with their, you know, defense and their situation. Would you say now that Spurs have a deeper team than Arsenal?
Hey, what do you mean without their key players? Only Kane was missing.
Ali.
And specifically to Arsenal, I may change my stance. But I don't think this game shows that they have depth. I don't. Because the fact that they play Vertonghen in outside back doesn't mean they have depth. I stand by my statement that they are still the better team of the two, and they're still a very good team with their best players on the field. And that's why they came through this match. Not necessarily because of depth.
I mean, can we also point to the fact that they played a teenager in Juan Foyth?
Yeah.
Starting in the back against Dortmund. I mean,
he almost had some shockers for them. You know, he almost caused
in the first half, I would agree.
Crucial areas.
But you know, let's not lose sight of the fact that Dortmund is top of the Bundesliga. You know, they are in first place, sizable, you know, small lead over Bayern Munich. That's nothing to be laughed at. And, you know, they contained the Dortmund front line seemingly with ease. That's nothing to sort of, and you're right, it did look in the first half of this there was going to be a lot of vulnerabilities, but they shut it down extremely well. And Davinson Sanchez was all over the place, seeming to be in every tackle. Very interesting.
But I think there's also, I haven't watched enough of the Bundesliga to make the statement now, but I think there's also a change of stance you can say is maybe the Bundesliga is just not as strong as it usually is or appears to be. I mean,
well, let's see what Bayern Munich and Schalke do this week. If Schalke can push Man City and if Bayern can push Liverpool.
I agree. Let's look at the quarterfinals to see kind of where it falls in the line. I mean, right now you have four Premier League teams. Three of those four will likely advance.
Mm-hmm. But even if Tottenham can draw City or Liverpool, I mean, that's a pretty fair. If I'm a Tottenham fan, you know, I don't mind that. You know, if I'm a Tottenham fan, I don't mind getting, you know, Atletico Madrid or Juve. I would just want to probably stay clear, still for me, away from Barcelona and Real Madrid. And those are two of the teams.
Well, you
I
know, Real
scary.
Madrid, you know, that actually, you know, stunning game at the same time was that Ajax-Real Madrid game. And Real Madrid do look weak. I mean, they had to make some key substitutions at the end, you know, to get that win. But they were looking weak against an Ajax team that was, you know, surprisingly strong, Daley Blind in the back line.
shout out to Shea's favorite.
Also
had
Shea's favorite Southampton, you know, player, Dusan Tadic. former Southampton player.
I don't like Tadic.
That's a joke, man. We know how you feel about Southampton. But even so, Real Madrid were fortunate. I don't know if you guys saw the game, but it relied on a VAR decision to rule Tadic offsides from Courtois fumbling a ball completely that then was tapped into the net. I mean, that's one of the ties that I'll be watching, definitely, of all the second leg ties.
So this week we got Liverpool-Bayern, Lyon-Barcelona, Atletico Madrid and Juventus, and then lastly Schalke-Man City.
Boom.
There it is. I mean, it's a lot of
tasty matchups. I mean, request off, you know the drill, but Liverpool getting a result against Bayern, is that on your mind, Miles?
Yeah, you know, Jacob? I think the three of us at least would say this is a pretty good matchup for us. You know, Klopp knows Bayern. It's the type of team that the way they set up, the way they play, that we could do well against. We're at home the first leg. You know, we already played a big giant in Europe in PSG and got a result at home.
Who do you...
I really think we got this one.
Who do you guys put, I mean, just based on that matchup and the team, what three play in the midfield in your opinion? Assuming we go 4-3-3.
Gini, Wijnaldum, Can. Just kidding. We were talking about Can. Gini, Wijnaldum, Fabinho.
Fabinho has got to be in there.
And
definitely.
I would say... If he's healthy and he's not playing on the back, depending on Trent Alexander or Arnold, I would put Milner in there. When in doubt, you trust Milner.
James Milley?
To me, Milner is the equivalent of what Ji-Sung Park was to Alex Ferguson.
I think
in the big game, he was going to be in there. He wasn't going to flash. He wasn't going to dazzle, but he was going to be solid, and you're going to rely on him to, you know, carry that midfield in its hard work. And it's a very hard-working midfield there, and I think it's physical enough to really cause some problems.
Miles, any qualm with
that? Yeah, I mean, no, the only thing I would say is Henderson's out. No, he's in.
No, he's
available.
He's available. I just, you know.
Yeah, the only
I just
only
don't
thing
favor I'm, him personally. I don't think that's what he will play.
Well,
will play.
And I think
that's the only point I would argue, because Henderson in the big games, I mean, while I do agree that Milner is a little more reliable and more experienced, I think Henderson brings that passion to the big games and leads that press so well. I think those are the types of games that are made for him.
I think Klopp probably repeats the Bournemouth lineup with Keita, Fabinho, and Wijnaldum. And I think that Bournemouth game might have been Henderson's last chance at really being a first pick.
Why you say that?
I just think that lineup serves us best at the moment. And I think if it continues to happen, they play well in Champions League or elsewhere, I think Henderson could be looking at that seat next to Mignolet for a while.
Yeah. Well, the real test, I think, is going to be what you do with Van Dijk missing. Obviously, Van Dijk out through yellow card suspension that he picked up against Napoli in the last fixture of the group stages.
Yeah, maybe
so
Fabinho
plays
center back.
Maybe Fabinho plays center back is my thought. And I think if that's so, then I would put Keita in there. Keita, I think, is going to prove good over the last final part of the season.
Okay. General consensus on City versus Schalke. Do we think City's shoo-in to win in advance?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to pick against them.
But let's not forget, they struggled in their first couple games in Champions League. You know Pep's going to rotate the squad a bit.
You could put in a whole new 11, they'll still advance.
Right? No, they'll advance, but they might struggle in this game.
And Mendy should be back by the second leg, too.
I'm interested to see Konoplyanka, if he plays for Schalke. Linked to Liverpool for how many years? But that team is actually not bad. It's got Salif Sané, we saw in the World Cup with Senegal. And, you know, of course, American Weston McKennie. I think he is prone to, you know, to kind of move on from the Bundesliga probably this season. I've seen him even linked to
this could be a
Liverpool
trial.
Possible. Well, that too. It's actually a pretty good squad when you look at it. But making the quarterfinals is no joke.
Shay's over here buzzing.
Buzzing might be the right word here. But I think the Bundesliga is just, I think it's done. I think it's changing the guards.
Oh man.
I think the Bundesliga is what Serie A was before Juventus became great again. So in that little middle phase when they didn't know who was a good team coming out of the league, it was AC Milan, Inter Milan, whoever it was, anyone's race.
That's a whole other discussion that you're going to have to argue up with Jack Ramsey on that.
Look.
This is the man of bold statements. I mean, you know.
I mean, Schalke didn't come out of a great group. I mean, they had Lokomotiv, Galatasaray, and Porto. You'd say it's sort of a easier group maybe for the caliber, but I would not count them out.
All right, guys. Make sure you check out those Champions League games midweek. We've got Liverpool-Man U at the coming weekend. Any prediction?
Yeah. I feel bad for Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool for me.
Where is it? It's at Old Trafford?
I don't care.
You don't care.
It don't matter.
Anybody else?
I feel bad for Liverpool. I think Liverpool's going to lose.
No, I got Liverpool.
I think Liverpool's going to win.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. You can find us on AcrossThePond.co, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Music, and more at ATP Radio on Twitter. Anything else?
I will say this. I'm not for the pod, but